This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Okay, so tonight's Parsha Shir, Parsha's Vayishlach, there are three things that we'll hopefully try and get through. If you're listening online, please email me at j.golker@gmail.com and I'll send you the handout. The first is a Ramban. Now, Parsha's Vayishlach, there is a very famous Ramban because the Ramban says there is an awful lot to learn from this week's Sedra generally and how we deal with Golas. Because this is the encounter of Yaakov and Esav, and it's the prototype, really, of our encounter with non-Jewish people during this long Golus that we're in. So take a look at the Ramban. It says the Ramban at the beginning of the Sedra, Nichtava ha-parsha hazos lohodia ki hitzla kodesh baruch hu es avdoi. The purpose of this parsha is to teach us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu saved Yaakov Avinu v'galo miyat chozok v'menu, and he redeemed him from someone who was stronger than him. Vayishlach malach v'yatzileu, and he sends a malach to help him. V'lelam deinu, and it's also meant to teach us, oid, shehu loy botach besidkosoi, that Yaakov Avinu did not trust in his own righteousness. V'hishtadel ba'atzola b'chol yecholta, he didn't rely on any miracles. He put in effort and hishtadlus to overpower Esav, and we'll see more about that in a second. V'yesh ba'od remez l'dayres, and there's further hints, allusions down the generations. Kol asher ira la'ovinu im Esav achiv yera lanu tamidim ne'esav. Whatever happened then will happen again down the generations to us and to the descendants of Esav. V'roi lanu lecho is bedarka shel tzadik, and therefore we should emulate the ways of this tzadik of Yaakov Avinu. Shenazmin atzmeinu, we should prepare ourselves. L'shloshes hadvarim shehizmin hu es atzmoi. In the same way that Yaakov prepares in three ways, we should prepare ourselves in three ways, i.e., l'tfila, v'l'dorin, v'l'hatzala b'derech milchama. That we daven, we give gifts, and we prepare ourselves. He split the camps, he involved in warfare, livrech, l'hinotzel, etc., to either escape or to fight, to be saved. Now, and furthermore, the Ramban adds a few psukim later, for Rabbi Seinu Ro, oid b'ze'etza, famously, that the Medrash Rabba says, Rabbi Yanai could have a salik and malchusa when he would go to, you know, plead the case of Klal Yisrael to Rome. Have misach b'hadot parshasa. He would actually read parshas Vayishlach mipnei shoyse kabbalah biyodom shezu parshas Golas, because there was a tradition that this is the parsha of Golas. Lo leches achri etzis hazokin hachochem, to follow, to emulate the ways of Yaakov, the zokin, the chochem, ki mimenu yiru hadayris v'chein yasu, that all future generations would do the same. Now, the Chovis Halvavos, amazingly, he quotes our parsha, our story with Yaakov and Esav, the interaction, to teach us a very interesting principle, and he'll bring other examples, that the importance of not relying on miracles and not and of being cautious and not endangering ourselves, even when we're performing a mitzvah. And he brings this as an example, and he brings some other very interesting examples. Well, okay, take a look at the Chovis Halvavos. This is in Shah Dalet, the famous Chovis Shah HaBitochen. Val Kain, Atzemoit says Shmuel Olav HaSholem. Interesting story in Nach. Shmuel says, Eich Eilech v'shama Shuel v'hargeni. What was the case? This is now after Shaul is going to be deposed as king. He fell short, l'fi madrigosei, in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he didn't eradicate Amalek. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Shmuel, you now go and anoint David HaMelech, he's going to be the second king of Klal Yisrael. Says Shmuel, even though he was commanded to do so by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm scared. How can I go? Maybe Shmuel, maybe Shaul will hear for Hargani and he'll kill me. This is not considered a lack of bitachon. It was a very real concern. Well, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him, what did he tell him? He said to him, "Kiz risaso b'zem shubachas." I understand your concern. V'omelo eglas boka tikach biyotchu, etc., etc. He said to Shmuel, take a calf and pretend you're offering it up. In other words, a bit of a subterfuge, a bit of a decoy. But he didn't say, ve'ilu lohoyet kitzu b'betchoyne, if this was considered a lack on the part of Shmuel, hoyesat shuvei lov, HaKadosh Baruch Hu would have responded to him, ani omis ve'achye ve'ani arpeo adomelo, he should have said to him, Shmuel, what are you worried about? Life and death is in my hands. I can heal you, I can do all of it. He didn't say that, like he said to Moshe Rabbeinu, ki kvad pe on v'kvad loshna neichim, when Moshe Rabbeinu said, I'm not a good orator, ki kvad pev, kvad losh no noichi, and Hashem said to him, Vayim Hashem Elov, mi som pele odom, mi osim ilay mecherish bekech o iver, hala noichi Hashem. Vim Shmuel al toim sit kosel, and therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Shmuel, I agree with you, you're right, your concerns are valid. Come up with this little plan, pretend you're going there to offer up a korban on a bomb which was allowed in those days. And listen to this, Vim Shmuel, im toim besit kosel, Shmuel, with his great sitkus, if he didn't endanger himself, and he was very cautious, even though HaKadosh Baruch Hu had commanded him to do it, and there was doing so on the back of that mitzvah, how much more so all of us that we have to take this line. Now the Radak there in Novi in Shmuel Aleph Perek Tezayin, he gives other examples. Motzinu ki afal pisha hematiach Kodesh Baruch Hu novi esat oyat tzaddik. Even though Hakadosh Baruch Hu himself or a novi would or a tzaddik would instruct someone to do a mitzvah, afal pikein hu nishmar meleches b'mokum sakana, he would be careful. He would not put himself in a dangerous situation. And a very interesting hashkofa point of view. K'moshu inu b'Yakov avinu, and the Radak brings our parsha as a good example. If you think about it, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Yaakov, I am going to bring you back to this land. So why was Yaakov worried? The Pasuk says, Vayira Yaakov Ma'od Vayetzer Lo. He was worried, he was distressed, despite the assurance of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Vashivosich El Adam Hazos. And we don't see that he was criticized for it. So you see, says the Radak, this is another example about the importance of being cautious and not putting yourself in danger, even in the course of performing a mitzvah. And so too, v'chein David, he didn't rely on miracles. He also tried to escape Shaul, who was running after him. V'chein b'divrei hamilchomos v'yosin ha'tachpulos acha haftochas ha'kel yisbarach k'mosh osa gidon b'dover ha'kadim v'lapidim. Another example is the case of Gideon. There are loads of examples. Gideon also involves in strategic warfare. He takes the flames and he takes the jugs and he makes noise. There's also military planning. So he doesn't just rely on miracles. Which is the case that the Chovas Havaos brings, as above. V'hatam, and what is the reason, says the Radak, ki af al pish HaKadosh Baruch Hu oisa nisim v'nifloisim yireyov, b'roiv him al min haka'olam. HaKadosh Baruch Hu likes to operate within the realm of nature. He doesn't like to do miracles. And therefore, it's important for us to sort of be a party to that, and to live in this natural world. V'chein al min haka'olam, hoya lo li Yaakov liyar leirom mipnei Esav, and therefore the normal thing is for Yaakov to be scared. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Shmuel, do exactly that. So, last line, therefore, says the Radak, you should not put yourself in a dangerous situation. Don't test HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Very, very interesting. The Chaznish has got letters. It's called the Kovet Tzigaris. And he's in Simon Lamed Hey, he gets a very interesting letter, and he makes this point, very in line with what the Chovas Halvavos and the Radak above say. This is the bottom box of the page. Michtavah Higiani, your letter has arrived. I've read your letter. Dalecho Yukari, no, my dear one, my precious one. And we're talking about, I don't know exactly the details, but clearly the guy has written to the Chaznish. And he's overdone things a bit. He's pushed himself too hard. And the Chazan Ish, who pushed himself to the extreme, one time the Chazan Ish, someone came to see the Chazan Ish, he was lying on the floor in his room. And they asked him, they told me they quickly ran to get him up, to help him. They said, what's the matter? So he would learn until he had no koach left. He left enough koach left to get from his desk to his bed. He said, but I got it wrong this time. Right, so that's the Chaznish. So someone wrote to the Chaznish, he's overdoing it. The Chaznish writes back to tell him to pace yourself. Right? So listen to this. Ve'in roi lezalza b'chukei ha-teva. Says the Chaznish, you should not belittle the rules of nature. Ki masha onu korin teva, this is the amazing line. What we call teva, ha-mechavin bozeh rotzen ha-yoysen mas mitzvah shel ha-muhus kol havoyes yisborach. In other words, the laws of nature are actually the most constant will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They're representing the Rotzon Hashem. V'lochein, and therefore, chayvoscho lahafsik limutcho legamrei. Stop learning. Imagine what the Chaznish tells him. Al meshech shtei shavuos, take 2 weeks off, v'tarbe b'chalkola u'mozen mavri, and eat more, eat healthy, good foods, v'lohoysif al hashena, and sleep a bit more, v'hatiul, and go for walks, v'oid minyone habatol, and other things which are normally considered the bittel. This is what you need to do. Ad shehechlif koyach, until you restore your koyach. I'm just remembering now that when I was in yeshiva, I was in the deer in the May yeshiva, and my roommate, who's now an up and coming superstar in America, he in those days it was pre-mobile phones, so there was one phone in the deer. Yeah, remember those days? And there was a phone then, and I remember my roommates. He just got off the phone, and he came back. We were roommates in this deer, and he was white. I said to him, "What's up?" So he said, "I just got off the phone." I said, "I saw. Who are you speaking to?" So he says, "Rabbi Osher Arieli." That was his Rebbe. And Rabbi Osher had just called him. I think they were chavrusas at one point. And he, Rabbi Osher, so I said, "What did he say?" That, you know, he said to him, he had just got mono, my friend, my roommate, and he was going back, he was going home. And Rabbi Osher had called him to tell him the following. I said, "What did he say that was so shocking?" He said to me that you will have to give din v'cheshbon on every tosis you learn when you go home. You will be taken to task for every tosis you learn. In other words, you go home, you rest, you sleep, like the Chaznish is saying, you eat more, you sleep, you go on walks, until you recover, and then you come back, and then you learn tosis. He's not saying don't learn, but just pace yourself. I remember him coming back to the room white. V'ashrecha, and then he gives some praise. V'ashrecha shamalta b'Torah, amazing that you've toiled so hard in Torah. V'toshes keicha leh, v'toiva achas, etc., etc. And achas b'tzar, me'er shlebitzar, and one 1 hour of learning with effort is better than 100 hours without effort, etc., etc. Na lohidich, but be in touch when you get back and tell me how you're doing. Yeah, that's what he's saying. So it's an amazing letter. What the Chaznish is saying in that first paragraph is don't be dismissive of the laws of nature, because the laws of nature are actually representing the will of Hashem. They're the most constant will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So there you have this whole preparation of Yaakov Avinu in this week's Sedra, of splitting the camps, of davening, of giving all the presents. That's doing Hishtadlus. And you see from here this important lesson, that's the importance of being cautious and not endangering oneself, even in the course of performing a mitzvah. Very important lesson. Okay, now, on the same theme, turning over the page, Yaakov Avinu was scared. Vayira Yaakov ma'od vayetzeloi. He was very scared and he was very troubled. Says Rashi, why the double expression? Vayira vayetzeloi. So says Rashi, they're two different things. Says Rashi, vayira shemei oz yehorek. He was scared that he may be killed. Vayetzeloi im yaroku esacherim. That he was scared that maybe he would kill acherim, i.e. Esav. Now, the difficulty is, I can understand that you're scared, Shemei Ozi Horeg, maybe you'll be killed. I get that. But why are you scared that you'll kill Esav? You're allowed to. This is warfare. Says the Tali Oris, and he quotes two answers, but look at the question in the first line of the second box. Why are you worried that you might kill Esav, who is trying to kill you? So even if you kill him, also kadin v'kadas, you're allowed to. Shari halacha hi ki habola horg chohashkem lahorgoi. If someone tries to attack you, you're allowed to defend yourself. So what's your fear? What's your concern? So he gives two answers. The first answer is in the name of the Meloi HaOmer, and he says the following very interesting answer. Bram, kol shekona Yaakov es habachira. When Yaakov acquired the bachira, me Esav, back in Parshas Toldos, lo haya ela kadei shetia ha'avoda. The whole purpose was that Yaakov would now have the avoda. He would be the bechor, and therefore he would have the avoda in the Beis Hamikdash. Avodas habechorim from Beis Hamikdash shayeches lo. It's his halacha. The halacha is brought in Arachaim Siman Kuf Kaf Ches Siflamet Hei, which is a very long siman, all about duchening, about nesias kapayim. Ki koyhein sheharages hanefesh. A koyhein that kills someone, even if he does so accidentally, lo yiso eskapov, he's not allowed to duchen. Now, by the way, this is a fascinating topic, maybe for another time, but there are lots of truths about this. A Kohen, for example, who's involved in a road accident, Rachman Litzlan, a Kohen who is the cause of somebody else's death, even if it's Beshogeg, not allowed to duchen. There are cases of friendly fire in the army and things like that, where people who, Rachman Litzlan, they kill another person, he's not allowed to duchen. Because their hands are full of blood, and I don't want those hands blessing the Jewish people. And if that is true with nesias kapayim, with duchening, how much more so for the avod of the mizbeach and not just of duchening? The whole hatred of Esav to Yaakov stemmed from the incident of the brachas. Vahari im yaharoges Esav, therefore lo hayakolzeh kedai. And therefore he was worried that if he would kill Esav, he would now be invalidated from serving in the Beis HaMikdash, because if you can't duchen if you kill, then you certainly, kal v'chomer, you can't work in the Beis HaMikdash and do more serious things than just duchening. And therefore the whole reason why I'm into this trouble is because I got the Bechura. And therefore, there's no point in me having it if I can't use it. Shari Oz Bain Kovako. True, but he was worried for himself. He was worried about himself, you're right, for his descendants maybe. But he's worried about himself. Maybe he would also be Zoche to serve in the Mishkan, who knows? And therefore, he was worried for himself that if he would end up killing Esav, then he would be invalidated. Just thinking now, they tell a story with Ramesha Feinstein that I think in his later years he needed a pacemaker, and he spoke to his son-in-law. I can't remember the details of the story, but he spoke to his son-in-law of Tendler, asking him a lot of details about the procedure that he had to undertake. Now it's a very commonplace procedure, but Ramesha was very worried about it. And Tendler thought it was a bit uncharacteristic. He said to him, why are you so worried about this? Why are you asking me so many details? So he said, look, please God, Moshiach will come, and there'll be a Sanhedrin again, and I'm concerned, will this constitute a mum that will invalidate me from being on the Sanhedrin? I think I might make it. Yeah? And therefore, will this invalidate me? Nebuchadnezzar didn't transpire, right? But I guess Yaakov lived in hope as well, and maybe. Okay. That's the first answer. That is the first explanation of what's the pshat. Vayetzer lo, maybe he'll kill acherim. There's another answer which I came across also in the Talei Oros. He quoted a sefer Zichra and Shmuel. Very interesting answer. Gives some good lateral thinking. Like, I took a look at the second box where it says Talei Oros. Es hachashash lehariga acherim. The nusach of Rashi doesn't say Esav. It says maybe he'll kill acherim. Says the Talei Oros in the name of the Zichron Shmuel, Es hachashash lahariga sacherim yeshe perishu b'derech eretz. There are those who explain it in a different way. Omru Chazal, the Gemara says in Gittin, famous Gemara, we learn this on Tisha B'Av, it's one of the few Gemaras we're allowed to learn on Tisha B'Av. This is the whole story with Kamtza Bar Kamtza, it's on the next daf. Al Niron Kaiser. Niron Kaiser is the Gemara Loshen for the Caesar called Nero. In English, he's known as Nero. Of course, Nero, the Roman Empire, is a descendant of Edom. Ki Hiskayer. Now, what do the classics say about Nero? The tradition tells us that he fiddled when Rome burns. Correct? That's what you learned in school. As Rome was burning, in other words, another way of saying he went crazy. Do you know what the Gemara says about Nero? He converted. He became one of us. And therefore, perhaps that's the background. That's what they meant. That's what they meant. Maybe. But Yotzim Menu, listen to this. Ki Hiskaya, that Nero converted. The Yotzim Menu Hatana of Meir. The Gemara says there in Hanizokin in Gittin that a descendant of Nero was the great Tana of Meir. Now, what does the Gemara call Meir? Nikra Batalmud in Horis with Gimlon Beis, B'Shem Achirim. The Gemara tells the whole story how he became known as Achirim. So Reb Meir became known as Achirim. Motzonu says this second pshat, ki kasher hitztarech atzadik laharoges harosha, when a tzadik has got to kill a rosha, lokach b'chesh b'nes mitziosim shal tzadikim asuim lo tzeis meyos harosha, always we're concerned, will there be a tzadik that will emerge from this person? Where do we have a precedent for that? Right? We have a precedent, of course, with Moshe Rabbeinu. Yeah, in a few weeks' time, please God, we'll get there. Vayifen koi v'choi. When Moshe went out to kill the Mitzri who was makes or ivri, he looked koi v'choi. Chazal tell us, he was looking to see maybe there's some descendants that would come from this Mitzri. Nothing doing. No one's going to come from this person. I can kill him. So we always choshesh, who's going to come from him? Says, V'rak mishirosh, that's only when Moshe Rabbeinu saw that no one would come from him, he killed him. Final paragraph there. Yaakov Avinu, asher chozak ki hatana hagod remeh osid lot seisvim b'nei bonov shel Esav. Yaakov Avinu with his Ruach HaKodesh could see that who's going to come from Esav? Edom, Nero, Remeir. Mitzta'er al kibar rigosu shel Esav al yoda. He was concerned, if I kill Esav, I'm now wiping out Remeir. Hariga shem mitzta'er al pidin v'alochi. Even though it's justified, it's halachically acceptable if I kill him. Timna biyosu shel Esav tana kodesh le'olam. That will prevent the great Tana, Remeir, coming to this world. That's Pshat. He says in Rashi, Shema Yehoreg Hu Esacherim. Maybe he will kill Acherim, i.e. Rameah. Because he will therefore prevent the light of the Torah of Rameah coming out of the world. So a very creative way of learning this Rashi, but an interesting explanation nonetheless. Okay, let's finish with one final piece. This I saw in the lovely Sefer of Yaakov Bender, one of the great Mechanchim in America today. And he says a very interesting observation on the final part of the Sedra. Later on in the Sedra, we have the whole incident we have discussed earlier briefly about Shimon and Levi. When Dina is assaulted, Shimon and Levi are incensed and they go and take action. Pasuk says in Perek Lamed Aleph, Pasuk Lamed, Vayomer Yaakov al Shimon veLevi, Acharetem Osi. And Yaakov is not very happy with them. Acharetem Osi, you have troubled me. Rashi says, Acharetem, Loshen Mayim Achurim, like cloudy water. Ein Daiti Tzelula Achshav, you've sort of made my mind cloudy and not straight and not settled. Lahavisheni B'yoshvei Haaretz, B'knani V'prizi, V'ani Mesei Mispa, we're only few in number. They're all going to gang up against me. They're going to smite us. Minishmadati anyo basin will be destroyed. So Yaakov Avinu told off Shimon and Levi. Now, the Sefarno says, what's the expression lahavisheni? To embarrass me? What does that mean? Says the Sefarno, sheyomru sheshokarnu beemnosenu, that we didn't keep our word. That was Yaakov Avinu's concern. That his Yaakov's fear was that the non-Jewish world would say that we didn't keep our words. That wasn't the plan when Shimon and Levi entered into these negotiations with Shechem. They didn't keep their word. We're not honest. We're not straight. So Rabbi Yaakov Bender, I brought it with because I thought I'd read it, his nusach, better than I can perhaps paraphrase it. Listen to what he says. He makes two or three very interesting horrors. Listen to this. A prominent New York lawyer recalled the day when his firm, one of the finest in the country, signed up a prestigious Canadian client, Olympia in New York, had just broken into the Manhattan market, and spirits were high in the law firm boardroom as they prepared to welcome the legendary Olympia in New York leadership. Now, who was that? Of course, it was Mr. Paul Reichman, yeah, the famous Reichman. Paul Reichman came in, and after introductions and handshakes, he made a short speech to his new team of attorneys. In Canada, this was Paul Reichman's speech to the New York lawyers. In Canada, that's where Reichman is from, the government knows that our returns are precise. We never cut corners. You will be representing us here. So I urge you not to do anything to jeopardize our reputation. Even to save money, our name is worth more. That was the entire speech. A plea for integrity. It was quiet in the boardroom as the group of hardened, battle-weary lawyers nodded and moved by the unusual request. And that really is what the Sefarno is saying. Yaakov Avinu's concern was, maybe they say, well, not honest. He then goes on and tells another anecdote, that he would often go to Philadelphia to consult with the Rosh Yeshiva of Philadelphia, of Elias Svei, about his yeshiva. And at one meeting he arrived, and he saw that Rabbi Elias Svei, the Rosh Yeshiva, was looking very pale and distressed, as if something bad had happened. He approached the Rosh Yeshiva and asked what was wrong. And he mentioned that there was an article in the New York Times in which some moistus had been implicated in a scheme to defraud the authorities. So he voiced his expression were those of someone who was in great... His voice and expression were those of someone who was in great pain and anguish. What Rav Moshe Scherer, this is what he said, what Rav Moshe Scherer accomplished in 35 years in Washington, they have undone in a few months. That's what the Sefarim is saying. Sheyomru sheshikarnu be'emnosenu. And then he adds one final anecdote, which is a sort of a more positive one. It works the other way as well. So listen to this. A visibly frum person went driving through the tolls at the Brooklyn Battery Tunnel one morning, racing to the Manhattan Hospital where his wife was to give birth. It was the days before barricades and the EZ pass, and he did not stop to pay the toll because he couldn't stop. Right? She was in too much pain, she was sitting in the car, and he had to rush to hospital. They reached the hospital and she gave birth to a healthy baby. Late that night, he went back to Brooklyn. As he passed through the tunnel, he pulled over and approached the booth. He handed money to the clerk on duty and started to relate what had happened that morning. The woman interrupted him. We know. Our colleague told us and assured us that you would come back and return because that is what you people do. Isn't that amazing? Amazing. So that is Yaakov Avinu's concern, but it works both ways. That's an aspiration that we can live up to. So let's just summarize the three ideas that we've shared this evening. The first is the famous encounter with Yaakov and Esav, and one of the many lessons that we learn from it is that the Chovos HaVavos cites this incident, as the Radak does, demonstrates the importance of being cautious and not endangering ourselves, even in the case of performing a mitzvah. And that amazing line of the Chazon Ish, that we shouldn't be dismissive of nature, because the laws of nature, they're actually the most constant will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Why was Yaakov scared? He's allowed to kill him. What's the concern? So the two explanations are that he would lose the opportunity to do the Avodah, because if you can't duchen, if you kill someone, then you can't even do the Avodah, kal v'chomer, and therefore that was what concerned him. And the whole reason why he was in this difficulty is because he had bought the Bechorah, so the whole thing would be a waste of time. And the second very creative answer in the name of the Zichron and Shmuel is that he was worried he might kill Acherim. That's the Lashon of Rashi, who's Acherim, Reb Meir, descended from Nero, descended from Edom, and that was his concern. And then lastly, that how to sort of a lesson for a Jew in Golus. That the Sefarno says that Yaakov Avinu's concern was that Lahavisheni means Sheyomru, Sheshikarnu b'mnaseinu. We weren't truthful. That we have to live with a certain integrity, and that was Paul Reichman's speech to his New York attorneys, and the toll payment at the Brooklyn Battery Tunnel. Okay, Seder, thank you.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.